Well, happy Easter to each and every one of you. So glad that you're all here. It is a very special day. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the overcoming even of death. It's a powerful day. The story, as it is in Scripture, tells us, this is the version in Matthew. And we know what we talked about last week when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, you know, against the advice of his disciples. He went through all of that. He was crucified on Friday. And it starts here. It says, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is the day after preparation, the chief priests, and that would be Saturday. Sabbath was, I think, sundown on Friday through sundown on Saturday, so Saturday. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what the impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. They weren't taking any chances. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became as dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly and with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Last week I asked you to kind of think about what it might have been like for him to go into Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen. Today I'm going to ask you to think about what it might have been like to be Mary, one of the Marys, and to see Jesus, who they saw die, greet them, and they could touch him. They fell and worshiped at his feet. He talked to them. Can you even imagine? Confusion, yeah. Joy, undoubtedly. They loved Jesus tremendously, and here's this loved one back from the dead. Amazing. I remember one Sunday, Randy Schmielig, the minister down at First Unity, did a service, and he had us, it was a powerful visualization, he had us during the service do a visualization. We were to close our eyes and to imagine someone that we loved who has already passed, and imagine being at an airport and seeing that person come off of the plane. And what would we feel like? Well, I just got goosebumps. Again, you know, it is a powerful image. It's, if you think about how that might have been to see that overcoming even of death, here's the person that I loved again. Powerful, powerful story. powerful, powerful experience. This overcoming of death was unexpected. It was wonderful. It is the very basis of Christianity. Now, we honor this day, and we honor Jesus the Christ for this resurrection. This is why we hold him in such high esteem, basically. Many, many people died in the name of God, but this one was able to overcome even death with his integration of that Christ being. As I said last week, we don't get crucified in physical ways, but don't we get crucified by life situations sometimes? Don't we have situations in our lives that seem to us like, I can't do it. I can't go on. This is more than I can take. I am done. And we die in a way. We just feel like there is no hope. Ever felt like that? I think most of us have. I know I have several times. We all have a story like that. And yet we're all here. We're all here. Something wonderful often happens after something horrible or something challenging. That if we, sometimes when we lose a job, it seems like that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. And yet, another job comes along and is better than the one that you had before. It pays more. I have a phrase that I've used for years now, this or something better. So if something that I think I want doesn't happen, use that phrase, and sure enough, it seems like this or something better. But when we think that there is an end, there's another thing, when one door closes, another opens, that has been my experience. It can be. So when we think that we just, this can't be a good thing, it's horrible, something good can come out of it, something better. A relationship ends, and we think we're devastated. And yet then, later we meet someone who is exactly what we wanted, exactly what a soulmate, if you will. So many times we feel like we are crucified, and yet something happens that is good, the phoenix rising out of that. I will never say that every experience is a good experience, because they're not. But I will say that good can come from every experience, if we choose. This whole time of year, Jesus is experiencing the tomb and rising from that, kind of reminds me of a metaphor of the plant. Either a seed or a bulb. The bulb, I think, is kind of good because it looks like it couldn't possibly be living. You know, it's just this thing. But you put it in the ground, and then some months later, here comes something, you know, some green. And then pretty soon it's blooming daffodils or tulips. You know? I have some hyacinths that are coming up. But if we think about the stages of that, this dead-looking bulb gets planted in the ground. When it's in the ground, it's very dark, you know, quiet. Nothing seems to be happening. From the outer, nothing happens for a long time. My nephew gave me one year for my birthday, I think they're called surprise lilies or magic lilies. I think they're beautiful. I had to leave them in Jefferson City, so I have to get some more. But but I planted those things, and my dog wanted to dig them up, so I had to keep planting them. So she put a little fence around them, and then they finally came up. That bursting through was so wonderful to watch. It's like that. These hard times that we experience in life, these challenging situations that we think we can't get through possibly, often will cause a dark time, a quiet time, and we just sit with it and be still. And yet that phoenix, that Christ within is what we call it, the light that is is in each and every one of us finally begins to grow and glow and expand, and from that, new beginnings happen, new starts, new life happens. The message of Easter is certainly celebration. It is a huge celebration, thinking about, you know, overcoming and just all that. But it's also truly a message of hope. For every time we've had something really seriously hard to deal with and get over, somehow we've come through it and we're here today, smiling. Most of you have been smiling at one point or another. We've come through it. There is a message of hope. When things get really tough, if we can remember, with God, all things are possible. I think ceremonies kind of help us anchor the idea of the message. And so today I wanted to do, we did this last year too, but I wanted to use this image of this wreath. It's called a wreath, but it is one of the ugliest things. It's just a stick wreath. I mean, there is some beauty in even that, but not my taste. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask each of you to think of something in your life that may seem like it's too big or just impossible to fix, or there's no hope for any of that. I want you to kind of think about that. Hold that in mind. And then as you come up, I want you to choose a flower. I'll be here. I'm going to cut most of the stem off so that then you can place the flower with a short little stem into the wreath. And know that as you are placing that, you are transforming the energy of that to show new life, new beauty. Okay? Okay, so think for a moment, and whenever you have your challenge, come on up. Why was nobody else as slow as me? There we go. Would somebody with a phone? Oh, good. Okay. Yes. Indeed. And isn't the wreath beautiful now? It has been transformed from something that looked like there was no hope for it into something that is beautiful, and it just is alive with the flowers and beauty. A symbol of what Easter is and what it can be in our lives if we can remember the hope of Easter, if we can remember the inspiration of Easter, if we can remember that with God all things are possible and hold that in our hearts. Last week we did just a little metaphysics of what Jerusalem was. If you recall, Jerusalem means the resting place of peace. So when he went into Jerusalem, it is going into that place of peace. And Galilee is the energy of life. Jesus said that he would meet them in Galilee. And Jesus also said, I shall return. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I shall be also. The Christ is alive in each and every one of us. And if, as we know and as we rely on that, then Easter can be each and every day. Each and every day that we have something that we need help with, we can overcome. And we are grateful and we celebrate. Let's take some time now, as we do each week, to make that connection with Spirit, with our Creator. So as we do also each week, let us gently close our outer eyes if that's comfortable for you. Allow yourself to relax. Let your seed fully support you. Our minds like to chatter and go on, and so as we are sitting, let us bring our awareness and our attention to our breath, the breathing in and release. And as we focus on that, we find ourselves becoming more still. We find ourselves relaxing even more. And by focusing on the breath, our brains have something to do. So we continue. We deeply breathe, filling our lungs. We hold it and then release. One of the exercises that I do, or the mantras, I guess, if you will, when I'm meditating is, when I inhale, I say, God is. And on the exhale, I say, God, I am. God is, I am. We allow our breath to say that to us. It is fully and completely a way to realize that we are one. We are one with our Creator. We are one with all of humanity. We are one with all life. We rest in that awareness. In that quiet, in that knowing, we can feel ourselves go deeper, become more still. We can feel ourselves letting go here in this wonderful and sacred and safe place to be. We relax. Here on this day of celebration, we are open and receptive. Here on this day of celebration, we realize the power that is available to us at all times. We realize that in coming together in this manner on a regular basis with our Creator, with that divine energy, that divine oneness of all, we have all we need. We have access to wisdom and guidance. We sit in stillness, opening up the channels for that guidance, for those divine ideas to come to us. In the stillness, we can feel the peace. That peace that Jesus told us, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. This peace that is an inner quality that blooms and expands and grows, it is the truth of us. It is our nature. And when we do this, it rekindles. We get to experience it. And love. As we sit in silence, in peace, we feel that strong sense of love, that love that that isn't only out there, it is within. It too is the truth of us. It is said that God is love, and we, as that image and likeness, are love in physical expression, if we choose to be. We feel that love now. The love for our families, the love for our friends, the love that doesn't even need an object, that is just who and what we are. We can feel it filling us. This is a sanctuary filled at this moment with radiating centers of love and light. This day, in this time of seeming impossibility of peace, we are peace. We are love. We take some time now in the silence to simply be, to be open and receptive, to continue to focus on the breath, to be peace, to be love in the silence. We celebrate this day, Easter. We honor this day. And we celebrate this time of communion with our Creator, with God. And we know that we can recreate this communion anytime, any place. We are grateful, so grateful for the example, the teachings of Jesus, our master teacher, our way shower, the man who came here to let us know that we can have lives of our choosing, that we can be peaceful, we can embody life, we can move calmly through storms. We are grateful for this community. We're grateful for the many, many blessings that we enjoy and that we know are on their way to us even now. For all of this good, we say thank you. As we do each week, we close our time of contemplation and communion by praying together the words that Jesus taught us, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.